I've selected for this evening's devotional passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you'd turn there with me, if you have a Bible or can use a copy of God's Word in the seat in front of you, page 907 in that Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, one of our core values at Grace Fellowship, we have a number of core values, and the core value for the month of November is the core value called kingdom generosity. Kingdom generosity. What do we mean by that? Here's what we say. As recipients of such full and free grace, our aim and desire is to reflect the heart of God by generously participating in the Great Commission in the following four ways. Number one, by training future pastors. Secondly, by planting local churches with God's help. Thirdly, by supporting worldwide missions. And fourth, by sending people of all ages into the harvest field through local partnerships, short-term missions, and personal evangelism. I think that's really exciting stuff. Kingdom generosity. And as we like to say, this is a culture, not a program. We're not interested in just a segment of the church buying in. We want the entire body of believers to be on board, regardless of your age, regardless of your background. We want others to be able to tell that something's happening in Zealand, that the Holy Spirit's at work in such a way that the gospel is being proclaimed, and we are believing it and cherishing it and marveling at it to such a degree that we cannot help but share it with others. That's just what we do. And so we come every week to gather together because we ourselves are needy and desperate and thirsting to receive from the bread of life, from Jesus himself. But in the eating and the receiving and the being nourished together, it spills over into where we live. That's what we mean by kingdom generosity, that we would all together be bought into this wonderful endeavor that Jesus has given to us. And tonight, what I want to wrestle with just briefly is the question of why should we care about being involved? Why should we buy into this mission? Why should you, for example, as a teenager, care about kingdom generosity? Why should you want to be a part of what Christ is doing where you are and where you live? Why should any of us buy into this? Why invest our resources, our time, talents, energy, finances by telling other people that we might not even know about Jesus Christ, by writing a check and sending it off to a place that we've never been? By investing time into future pastors, by laboring together and partnering with other churches to plant healthy, gospel-centered churches. Why would we do that? Why would we go on short-term missions trips? Why would we get up on a Saturday morning and join in a service project helping our neighbors? Why go Sunday afternoon to Riley's Grove Nursing Home? Why do that stuff? I mean, there's only so much time and energy that we have in the day and in the week. Why get involved? Why kingdom generosity? That's what I want to wrestle with this evening, which brings us to our text. I didn't forget to read it, if some of you were wondering. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look there together. I'm going to begin at verse 1, and I'm going to be focusing our thoughts tonight on verse 15, but I'll begin at verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. And then verse 15, our focus for tonight, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Well, I believe this verse, verse 15, lays out three reasons every single one of us should buy into this core value. Number one, for the sake of others. For the sake of others. Paul says this, for it is all for your sake. It is all for your sake. Now, what is he referring to there when he says it's all for your sake? He's referring to all of the losses, all of the labor, all of the suffering, all the hardship, all the toil, all the difficulty, all the blood, sweat, and tears, all the sacrifices, all the risks, all the costs, all of it. It's for your sake. Paul's doing all of those things for the sake of others, specifically here for the Corinthians. He's willing to even be beaten. He's willing even to go through to death so that others might hear the gospel that has rescued the Apostle Paul, this man who is violently persecuting the church until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and completely, radically transformed his life forever into an apostle, into a follower of Jesus Christ, into one who is sold out for this cause. It's for others that he preaches, that he declares this gospel. Notice what else he says. It is all for your sake so that grace extends to more and more people. So that grace multiplies. There's a great domino effect when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is shared. As Paul himself experienced, he received grace, and he cannot help but then give grace, dispense grace, share grace with others. The gospel that we proclaim was never meant to be hidden. It was never meant to be located in a cul-de-sac, but it was meant to be given away and given out and shared and published. And the kind of culture with God's help that we're pursuing here is when all of us together collectively are being changed every single week and during the week in the Word by this life-giving message. In such a way that from the pulpit to the pew and from the life-giving Word of God, this sweet news that we love is actually changing us. Is it changing you? Is it changing me? Is it changing us? This message of Christ for sin and for suffering. And as it does that, because that's what it does when received by faith, we can't help but tell people. This message is real. Jesus has actually been working on this cold heart of mine in such a way that I gotta tell you what's been going on in my heart. I've got a desire now to get in His Word. I've got a desire to pray. I want to tell people about Jesus Christ. I want to love my wife well and love my kids well. And I want to obey God. And the only thing that I can explain is the gospel has taken a hold of my heart. He's changed me. That's what we're after. Why should you care about kingdom generosity and the Great Commission? For the sake of others. So that others can experience what you've tasted. So that others can be forgiven in the same way that you and I have been. Isn't it amazing that God, who is the most generous being in the universe, invites us and calls us and empowers us and compels us to participate in this? To me, that's amazing. The one who commands, the one who calls, the one who speaks into death and life comes out is the one who says, I want you to be my ambassador. We preach and we share and we counsel and we raise. God opens blind eyes, but it is marvelous that we get to be a part of that. So that's why we do it. That's why we need to buy in, regardless of age. For the sake of others, for the sake of our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and our enemies and people that we don't even know and people on the other side of the world, so that they too would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that's the first reason Paul says, I'm doing everything for you, so that grace might extend beyond you. Secondly, another reason to buy into kingdom generosity is for the increase of thanksgiving. Well, obviously tomorrow is Thanksgiving. The question is, how much thanks will actually be given vertically? There's going to be a lot of talk about thankfulness tomorrow, sort of hovering about, but how much of it will actually reach the ears of God and the gates of heaven? In fact, one of the more blatant sins recorded in the Bible is a lack of thankfulness. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for example. He describes sinful man and his condition apart from Christ. He says in chapter 1, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. It's interesting, isn't it? Somewhat surprised, perhaps, or startled. I mean, what's the biggest problem in the world? What would you say? What's the biggest problem in our culture today? Would you say, would I say, ingratitude? But in so many ways, that's at the very root of it. That's at the heart of it. Idolatry, false worship, ingratitude, they go together. Therefore, God gave them up, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. See, lots of people never give thanks. Bart Simpson once prayed, Dear God, we paid for all of this ourselves, so thanks for nothing. At least the authors are somewhat honest, if not blasphemous. That's where a lot of people are. That's where a lot of people live. We've worked for this. We've earned this. We've merited this. I mean, we're the ones toiling over things, and here is our food because we deserve it, because we are owed it. Of course, it's easy to think that's all that what unbelievers do. Of course, it's something that we struggle with. I struggle with as well. Ingratitude. Take inventory through the lens of your prayer life the last month. What are you thanking God for? What aren't you thanking God for? Usually shows what we're sort of thinking we deserve. Boys and girls, how do you think our Father in heaven feels when we're walking around almost constantly murmuring and grumbling and complaining about this and that, about the weather and about the food? Sounds an awful lot like the Israelites, doesn't it? Thankfully, God's patient with us. We are slow learners. The Israelites were supposed to be a light to the other nations, and they became infamous for their complaining. May that never be our reputation. May we be a thankful people, a humble people, a grateful people, a generous people. So important. In fact, if we want to shine and really stand out, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he says, you want to shine like stars in this world and this crooked and perverse generation, then do all things without grumbling and complaining. Boys and girls, trust me, you'll stand out if you honor your parents without complaining and grumbling. So if you want to make a difference, start there. I need to start there, receiving what God has given to me with thankfulness. But that's the point. It doesn't come naturally. It's only worked in us by the Holy Spirit through a living faith in Jesus. But that's why Paul gave himself to others, not so that the apostle could rack up some brownie points or to look better or make a name for himself, but listen to what the text says. Verse 15 again, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving." That's why we go. That's why we participate in the Great Commission. That's why we tell our children and grandkids the gospel, because they, like us, are natural complainers. And what they need, just like what we need, is to come face to face with the sheer graciousness of God and His mercy at the cross. And when we spend time at Calvary, we begin to realize that anything less than an eternity under His condemnation in hell is absolute sheer mercy. And it reorients us and reframes us. This doesn't mean we become fake. Paul talks about this paradox of being rejoicing at the same time that he's sorrowful. Life is hard and we grieve, as we should. But underneath is a gratitude, is a joy, is a thankfulness for what Christ has done and who God is. That's why we should buy in. Because you and I want to see more thanksgiving in the world. Well, finally, I said this is a devotional. Let's wrap it up. Listen to how Paul concludes this verse. "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving." Notice the capstone to the glory of God. So remember Jonah, our prophet friend who ran the other way. Why did he run the other way? Well, because he didn't think the Ninevites deserved to be forgiven. And he was absolutely right. Of course they didn't. Neither did he. Neither do you. Neither do I. How would have Jonah's perspective changed had he been driven by not how he felt about his neighbor, but instead, rather, the glory of God? God called me on this mission. God told me to go, and so I'm going to go. Because I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for based on what I think. I'm here for the glory of God. If the glory of God is what we're after, then we will invest and expend ourselves in the mission of the gospel because we want to see more and more people not only receive the grace that is found in Christ, not only so that more and more people will be thankful to God, but ultimately so that as those things increase, God gets the glory. So let's be a generous church. Be a generous church. I got to tell you a quick thing. I'm not sure I'm supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it. The trustees, with the session's approval last evening, just decided to cut a check to the farmhouse for their new carpet, which is so cool. because the farmhouse has been so generous to us, haven't they? And those are the little things that are big things, culture-building things, when our leaders are saying, you know what, no one's telling us to, no one's asking us to. They probably didn't even want you to necessarily know all of that. But that's the kind of thing that we are asked and called to do, to be generous with the Lord's resources, because we've received. As John prayed, I mean, the thank offering that we just took, do you realize that we were on the receiving end of the thank offering? Like churches that we've never met, people we've never met, gave money so that we could buy these seats and have this building and do this thing we call church. I mean, it's amazing. So as the Lord gives, so he supplies the grace that we need to give generously to other people. And I just don't think there's anything more exciting than that, to invest and reinvest and lose ourselves. And in so doing, we reflect who? The heart of our God, don't we? Because here's the truth. We can never outgive God. And so let's be a generous people, as a church, as individuals, as families, all to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your reminder this evening from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Lord. Just to see Paul give himself for the sake of others so that grace might extend to the increase of thanksgiving, all to the glory of God. Lord, may that be our theme. Help us to that end. Thank you for giving us your very best in your Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us and deliver us from bondage and slavery and death. Lord, we are humbled and we marvel at it. And we thank you that you have called us then to participate in this great commission to be generous in the extension of your kingdom here in Zealand, but not just here in Zealand, throughout our region and our nation and to the ends of the earth. Father, what a thrill. And so we pray that you would bless our efforts to that end for the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.